Now, I want to bring on our good friend and precious metals advisor, Tom Cloud. He's going to be here to help us sort out what happened in the markets this week as it pertains to gold and silver. It's time for this week's Precious Metals Market Update. Well, all right, Tom. Welcome back to the program, my friend.
Hey, great to be back, Jerry. I always look forward to this every week.
Tom, there was another economic report that came out this week talking about the U.S. economy. It grew at an annual rate of just about 1% this spring, and overall for the first 6 months of the year, the economic growth in the U.S. is just about 0.7%. And as economists look forward, they're only seeing a slightly healthier expansion in the second half. Now, we also saw Ben Bernanke this Friday at Jackson Hole. It was a highly anticipated speech. Last year, he gave the talk on QE2, basically kicking the door open to QE2 last year. So many Fed watchers and economists were interested in what he was going to say on this speech. And he really didn't propose any new steps to boost the economy. Instead, he deferred to the Congress. Fill us in on what happened there and what you took away from it.
Well, I mean, he started, you never heard Bernanke say anything when the Democrats were in charge of Congress. It was always, he was doing monetary policy from the Fed to solve issues. And now that the Republicans are there, he's now talking about it being a fiscal problem and that they've done what they need to do and Congress needs to deal with it and fix the problem. Well, we know this isn't a Democrat or a Republican problem. This is a American problem, and today was really kind of a non-issue as to what he had to say on Friday about it. I think we look forward to next month. I think when Labor Day holiday recess comes back and we look at the last 11 years, I think we're going to see some stimulation needed for the monetary side. I don't think Congress could react quick enough to get things up and running. Like you said, John Williams at Shadow Stats is saying there is no growth, 0.7. It's not even true that we're actually already in a negative growth situation, and they continue every time 3 or 6 months later they downgrade what they initially announced it was. So if you look at 0.7 getting downgraded, you know, we're probably in negative growth right now, even though they're saying that we're still officially growing.
Well, so much for the recovery that they tried to cram down our throats for the last couple of years. It's finally been exposed, and I do believe John Williams and Shadow Stats is very, very highly accurate, certainly more accurate than what the government's feeding us. Now, when we take a look at Ben Bernanke's speech on Friday, he did leave the door open to further monetary easing. He didn't close the door, in essence, and that's, of course, I'm sure, what many gold investors were looking for, some sort of an announcement of a pending QE3. And while he didn't go that far, he didn't shut the door. And gold prices responded on Friday by jerking first down, and then they moved back up. What happened in the gold markets this week? We also saw the margin requirements from the COMEX. That brought the price down. It was a very hectic week in gold this week. Tell us about what happened.
Well, on Monday, we saw it jump up to the 1890 range. We saw an all-time high. We knew there was strong resistance at 1700, and we're looking literally for about a $100 pullback. But on Tuesday and Wednesday, we saw the market pull back $170 an ounce back to 1714, and that was on Wednesday afternoon. And then by Friday afternoon, we were back over 1800, and 2 hours after Bernanke spoke, as things start breaking out of Europe, that Germany's once again threatening to get out of the EU, which would throw the whole world into turmoil because the Germans are really the only country that really knows how to manage money. That's been proven over and over, and they're just about had it. But there's, you know, there'll be meetings this weekend in Europe, as there are every weekend, trying to work on their problems. But the main thing that people forget is we literally are in historically the two weakest weeks of the year for gold. It was the week of July the 4th and the week before Labor Day, and that's the week we're coming up on. And if you see gold moving up early in the week, then there's no need to wait. You need to get on in, because after Labor Day, we expect, due to all the reasons we talk about all the time, the Indian harvest season and buying season, Ramadan, and we get into the fiscal year ending, and we have to realize the Lunar New Year is not far away for the Chinese, and you look at all that, and historically, we get a big move the last 4 months of the year that is bigger than the first 8 months of the year. So this coming week could be very neutral. It could drift down a little bit, but once we get the next week and the market opens on Tuesday, September 6th, we're looking for the same thing we've seen for 11 years, and that is a strong move up in gold the rest of the year.
Yeah, and if we go back and listen to this program or some of the earlier programs that we have done earlier in the year, we did talk about this fourth quarter, and we're just upon it right now. We're getting ready to move into it, and we were urging people to seriously consider if they wanted to purchase gold, that would be a good time to be in before. And fortunately, we've had this gift of a decline in the price of gold, and I know many people took advantage of that. There was a recent commentary about the uptrend in gold, showing how the uptrend has been so amazing over the course of this year that gold prices would have to go down below the 1400s in order to break the confirmed uptrend that we just continue to find ourselves in. So there's still a lot of room. And there are some forecasts, Tom, as you know, of gold dropping down to $1,200, even by those who are very bullish on it, who believe that it's just due for a big correction. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen, but gosh, that would really provide a huge buying opportunity. But it doesn't. I can't see it quite doing that with all the demand we see here in the fourth quarter. How about you?
Well, I agree with you, Jerry. I just don't think it's going to happen. I'm looking for $2,000 gold and probably by the end of September, but let's be conservative and say by the end of October, I think we'll see $2,000 gold. You got to remember, just this past Monday, we were at 1792. It actually was over 1800 during the day, but I'm talking about the close. So, you know, it's not that far away. I just can't imagine those kind of numbers coming down to 12 or 1400. There's nothing changed in the economy. Money markets are still paying 0.5% and 1%, and they're primarily stuffed in commercial paper. It's not worth anything, and I think one of the points you made on Thursday night during the webinar is you've got a product that's gone up 124 months in a row, and for 66 months it's been called the 2% miracle. It's been doing 2% a month every month for 66 months, and how people just think that's going to reverse actually or wishful thinking. I just don't see any way that's going to happen, at least for the remainder of this year.
Yeah, it's been said that if you trust the government, then you should probably sell your gold, or you probably wouldn't even want gold to begin with. But if you do not trust the government, then you certainly need to consider gold, as it is the insurance against an out-of-control government. Now, silver also had a pretty tumultuous week. I believe it ended the week down at around 4%. Prices in the silver market have silver investors kind of wondering if we're still in a period of consolidation or if we're going to begin to see a takeoff phase occur soon. What should silver investors be watching for in the weeks ahead, Tom?
Well, we've been in neutral between 38 and 42. As you mentioned, we got above 42 and then got this 4% pullback for the week while all this Bernanke and economic data was coming out. Because we've said many times, we're dealing with an industrial metal that is dependent on industrial demand, and then the investor demand is what really makes it make the big jumps like it did last year. It wasn't an increased industrial demand, but it was investor demand. And when you've got gold doing what it's doing at 2% a month, you know, more money is going into gold right now because the astute silver investors, the ones that aren't just looking long-term, knowing it's going to be volatile, but it's going much, much higher. They're waiting on better signs from the economy, and once you get that, then it should translate to higher inflation, and we get some bigger numbers. Now with the official inflation rate of 6.9% coming out of China, you know, we're starting to see them picking up silver as investment, where they've primarily been industrial users, and some investment, of course, but not to the tune like they are in gold. So they're also an X factor, like they are in every investment as to what they're going to buy and do. But I still love buying some silver first for protection, for barter, to have something you could use if things did go bad, and then, you know, long term. But those that are timers, that are, you know, trying to catch the bottom, they probably have another week ahead of look and see before we get a clear direction on the silver market.
Well, good. And, you know, last night we conducted our webinar that you had alluded to, something that was highly anticipated. We have people from all over the world last night tuning in, and for those who missed it, or even for those who were able to catch it, they would be happy to know that we have a replay on our website at ftmdaily.com. Just simply go there, and you'll see the replay button. You can watch now. And what was very interesting last night, Tom, is we talked about gold and we talked about silver, the fundamentals of investing in gold and silver, which are very important for investors today. But the final thing that we talked about, and what many people probably have not heard of before or maybe very little about, is another alternative investment. We talked about how people are pouring money into farmland, they're pouring money into energy in many different ways, obviously gold and silver. But there's another asset that many people have been buying for the sake of a return, and also for the sake of being able to have portable wealth, which is very, very important today, and that is diamonds. And when people think about diamonds, they tend to think about an engagement ring or a wedding ring or maybe a piece of jewelry. But we're actually talking about investment-grade loose diamonds that you're able to buy from the nation of Israel. And I am curious. Many people did not know that you did this. You've been doing this since 1975. Talk about diamonds as an investment class.
Well, I think as an investment class, it's a small percentage, but the attributes, when you look at an investment that's averaged 13.8% per year since 1938, there's just nothing else that's come close. Now, I'm not talking about the jewelry-grade diamonds like you alluded to. We're talking about fancy yellows, pinks, blues, greens, the real rare diamonds, and big white diamonds, not like half-carat white diamonds. So usually there's still yellow diamonds in the $5,000 range that you could buy that have a great chance for opportunity for appreciation. But these are diamonds you probably should not wear. But when you think about it, you put $2 million in the palm of your hand and close your fist, and you can't tell what's in your hand. There's no other form of wealth in the world that's, first of all, that confidential, that you can travel through airport detectors without seeing them. They can be transported anywhere in the world. They're liquid anywhere in the world, as long as they have the right kind of certification. So a lot of my clients over the many years of doing this have taken, you know, 5 to 6, 7% positions of their investable portfolio in diamonds, and we usually tell them to buy it with money and give it a 5-year horizon, and they'll do very well. But it just gives you another classification. And now, just like we talked about earlier, we're now seeing the Chinese are extremely interested in yellow diamonds, and they are much more affordable than the greens, blues, or pinks that are now in the $100,000, well, some of the pinks are in the 40s, 50s, depending on the secondary color. But you're going to see this market really, really keep moving just for the factors we talked about of privacy, confidentiality, portability, holding their value, going up at double-digit rates, and being able to liquidate them anywhere in the world if they have the proper documentation. So it is something a lot of people are interested in today. And like you said, Jerry, I actually was in diamonds 2 years before I got into gold and silver. So it's something I've made a lot of contacts over the years, and very confidentially do quite a bit of business a year in investment grade diamonds.
Yeah, and you made a really interesting point last night that many people may not have thought about, and that is the ability to, you know, slip a diamond into your pocket or even, you know, mount it onto a piece of jewelry and put it on your hand and then go through airport security and leave the nation. Whereas if you were to try to take that much wealth in the form of gold or silver onto a plane or to try to get out of Dodge with that, it would be very difficult. So, again, for those who are thinking about holding assets offshore, you made a really good point last night that diamonds, because it's so portable and so versatile and because you can hold a multi-million dollar portfolio in an envelope, it really makes an interesting play for those who are very concerned about potential gold confiscation or for those who are concerned about, you know, holding their assets here in the United States.
Absolutely. And I think that's been the major use throughout history, I mean, except for the adornment and the jewelry part. But, you know, once again, this is not a half-carat engagement ring and things like that that people call and say, I had a call today, but the lady heard the webinar last night, said she had a diamond that was below a half carat. And I said, no, that's not what we're talking about. You know, you've got to get something that's got enough rarity and scarcity that is going to go up. And you got to have, we went over the four C's last night, you got to have the right carat weight for each color diamond. It has a different rarity where it kicks in. And you got the clarity. You need to know it's how free of inclusion the diamond is. So there's a lot of issues to cut, and there are different cuts for different colors that are acceptable. So there's a lot of issues, but just for those that are interested, I'd be happy to talk to and go over with, because it does not apply to everybody. They need to have their gold and silver and their 6 months supply, everything ready before they do this, but certainly it does play an important part in the portfolio once you have all the other criteria met.
Yeah, it's very interesting, and I don't think that we're probably going to be talking about this each and every week, because diamonds don't go up and down, and there's certainly not a huge emphasis upon them as gold and silver is. However, we do want to mention them on this program, and occasionally we will refer to it because, again, as Tom had said, there is a tremendous investment demand going on for these in China and in India. Friends, in other parts of the world, they understand hard assets. We here in the West have been duped by fiat currencies and by paper assets, and it doesn't mean that we should flee paper assets and strictly hold hard assets, because we do want diversification. But it is interesting, as Tom has said, that he recommends no more than 5 to 6% to be put into an asset like diamonds. Those of you who might be listening to this and saying, I'd like to find out more, you simply just need to call Tom. He's available to talk to you about this. He's been selling diamonds since 1975 and precious metals since 1977. And he offers just a wonderful free consultation for any of your questions. He can certainly help you understand how to diversify with hard assets. You can contact him at 800-247-2812, and when you do, be sure to tell him that you heard about him here right here on Follow the Money Weekly, and he'll throw in free shipping and insurance on your entire order. Also, Tom, they need to sign up for your newsletter, because you do issue buy and sell signals and also just news briefings occasionally through email. They can do that at ftmdaily.com. Click on the Precious Metals button and type in your name and your email address, and Tom will be notified, and he'll be sure to get you added to that list pronto. So, Tom, anything else we want to add before we conclude?
No, we're getting ready to have move into the best season of the year for hard assets. And this next week, people should be looking at their portfolio and seeing what percentage they want to have in metals, because it's going to be an interesting fall for equities, especially if we don't get some kind of stimulation from the Federal Reserve. So I think people just need to take a week here and think about it, because once we get into September and October, the ones that have been around for a while know what the prices have done the last several years in the last 4 months of the year. And they've also seen supply comes very hard to get usually in October and November. And we're hearing already that even gold this year, supplies are tighter than they've ever been. Silver gets tight every year in the fall, but gold this year is tighter than silver right now. And they just need to know that as we move into the year. So I'll be in all next week and look forward to talking to anyone that gives me a call.
Well, these are certainly very difficult times for those who have their heads in the sand. But I tell you, for those with their eyes open, these are very exciting times. Tom, I thank you so much for coming on. And I encourage people to listen to our webinar last night. They can go to our website, ftmdaily.com. Listen to that. If you have any questions, give Tom a call. Tom, thanks so much. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week.
All right, Jerry, thanks.